Dear friends who gather around Word and Sacrament to be encouraged by Jesus. Today we're going to talk about, from Revelation, CPR once again. And you may not have caught the real significance of it until now because I haven't announced it. Stands for Christ's promises in Revelation. Now, I think here we have among the most cherished examples of that, that the Word of Christ sustains us. In these seven letters narrated by Jesus to John and then written down, he really is giving encouragement for all ages. But there have been warnings. What's interesting about the city of Philadelphia, brotherly love, is that this little congregation, heavily persecuted, had no negative warning from Jesus. He says, I know your deeds, and then he commends them. It's a small town, more northern than the others, actually one of the newest towns, only 150 years before Christ came, that was called the Gateway to the East. It was a town that had risen to try to Hellenize, to make Greek that part of Asia Minor. And in fact, as they suffered persecution, this church had done it right. So we're going to engage a couple of things here. Opposite actions. Is Jesus saying hang on or let go? I'm sure you've heard this from people at some point in your life. Just let go. You sometimes have to say that to a brother or sister, a sibling, who at the last family gathering reminded you that on your eighth birthday, when they were 6 years old, they got underwear and all you, what you got was a new bike. It's like, just let it go. You're 50 years old. Just let it go. But then it gets more serious than that. Sometimes it's right on the edge of eternity. Just let go. On Wednesday, I had a phone conversation with my mom. It's time. I said, Mom, just let go. It's time to go into eternity. Jesus will gather you up into his arms. But here at Philadelphia, in the challenge of life, Jesus is saying, hang on. And I'm sure you've heard that too. Just hang on. Well, might be when a kid is out at Kettle or at Port at high school or Grafton, and they call home and the parent can't get there immediately. They say, just hang on. Don't go calling anybody else. Don't get on a bus. Stay there until I get there. And I'm sure that you had this in childhood, the monkey bars, right? Probably you were the kid that got out there and trying to keep up with the older brother. I was the youngest, so I was always over my head. And I know that my brother would do this to me when I was very little. He would grab me by the waist, put me on the monkey bars, and then run away. But then as he was running away, and I couldn't go on to the next, he would scream back over his shoulder. He'd say, hey, it's hot lava, don't let go. It's a 500-foot fall down a cliff, you're gonna die. Well, when you're a kid, you think, yeah, I'm going to die. So you're hanging on there and you're trembling like this. And somebody says, just hang on. Can you? Oh, you have little strength, you know. And then another friend, an older person who sees your dilemma from the neighborhood, comes along and grabs you by the waist and carries you across the hot lava, and you're fine. You make it and you cheer because it has been accomplished. You see, this town under persecution needed support. They needed to know, because it is so physical, because you face things like doctors and their diagnosis. You face financial upheaval, a news that doesn't necessarily do anything but turn your stomach. And when you face those kind of things, I want you to think about that. And I speak this right from experience because a pastor has no difference. Sometimes in my ministry, I'm filled with anxiety. I can't go to sleep. Sometimes it's because of my personal life, my family. Maybe it's our marriage. Maybe it's our relationships. And you feel like you're on the monkey bars and you're trembling. And then you're told, just hang on. So that daily encouragement for the faithful few is what we have today, as Jesus promises and Jesus guarantees. Let's look at Jesus' promise. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. I have placed before you an open door." Believers can rest in the moment of their greatest exertion. How? By the promises of Jesus and his accomplishment. When you focus on the little strength, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word," it is absolutely true of all of us, every one of us. Yesterday I saw the CrossFit Games, and you are absolutely amazed that any human being can look like that and pick up that kind of weight. Some of those guys were handling 400 pounds over their head. You're like, how do they do that? But then even the giants would wear out. It doesn't really matter, does it? Even if it's just a single bar, if you give it to the world's greatest bodybuilder and tell him to do it, he will eventually fatigue it. Maybe 50 times, 100 times, 500 times, but he will become of little strength. And it happens to all of us. You know, the problem with most of us, you're probably like me, that when you have little strength left, you go the wrong direction. You choose to lash out. You seek to destroy or blame or hurt. And what you really need is simply to hang on to Jesus. Listen to how he would say it in his day, as he would say, "Hold on to the keys of the kingdom." This is the outline that I'm using right now. I'm on point 2, and I want you to see this word of God. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, the thing that Jesus does, and some of you sitting here today have sensed and felt this, the thing that Jesus does is that he is the one who handles the keys to the kingdom. Times of exertion and then rest. That's how you grow. Times of exertion, and then he says, "Take your burdens and lay them on me." What he has is an obscure reference to the keys of the kingdom through David. Key of David here means the key of the storehouse of Israel. It meant the one person who could open the storehouse of treasure and do whatever he decided with it, because he's king. Even after he was dead, if you had the key of David, you could still open the storehouse and utilize all of the treasure. He says, "I want you to share in all of this, the storeroom of heaven." And we forget that he can open that storeroom and shower down blessings upon blessings on us. We can't even fathom what he's doing. You know, sometimes the fact that I'm not getting it right now doesn't mean that I won't get it. The fact that he isn't giving it to us at this moment doesn't mean that he can't, but that he's the Almighty God who has it already figured out. Look at how he opens that door for us by his love. "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." His goal is to carry us through to himself. You have to believe that you are hearing the words of God through me, the words of Jesus. And I don't know the circumstances to which I'm speaking. Many of you have private hurts, or needs, and what you're hearing right now comes from Jesus. He is saying to you, hang on to your faith. Don't listen to the world that is constantly saying, just curse God and die. He's saying, I am holding it for you. Sometimes we need that vindication that comes. There's a vindication that he's speaking about. I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not but are liars, I will make them come down and at your feet acknowledge that I have loved you. Now, with apologies to Tom Phillips, who says I quote more about Green Bay than Milwaukee, more about the Packers than the Brewers, if I had a Lucroy story, I would tell it, but I don't. So what I have is a friend who was in the ministry up by Green Bay for a number of years that had a member of a congregation, a good friend named Brian. Brian worked for East Bay. East Bay was where all of the Packer guys would come to get their storehouse of equipment for their camps. All the kids that would come together and they would lead them. It's a wonderful thing. They're using their position as a role model. And Brian had gotten to know Amon Green very well. Remember him, running back from the Packers? Amon Green very well, and they would often interact socially so that the little boy would often see and interact with Amon Green. Turns out that little boy was the pastor's son, and sometimes boys like to take their news to their classroom. So he announced to his friends, I know Amon Green. And they all laughed at him. No, I know him. I talk to him. He knows my name. No, you don't. You're just having hallucinations. This went on for a couple of weeks where he was being hazed and ridiculed. And finally, it was a surprise to him as it was to Dad. Brian had heard about it through the mothers. He had gotten a deal with Amon. And they showed up at the Lutheran grade school, and Amon Green walked in, put the boy on his shoulders, and said, this is my friend. Now there's vindication, right? This is what Jesus was saying, is that in the end, Philadelphia, the little one that was being laughed at, would be celebrated because of his love, because it was his strength, and to the glory of Jesus, he held them up. This is access to unlimited resources. Only God can give us that kind of support, and only Jesus can open that door to the treasury of grace. So we listen to his voice, his promises, because he also guarantees something. He guarantees that we can hold on to his name. Now let's take a look at the second part here. Jesus speaks the strength into our hands, into our arms. There we are trembling. And like a coach or a parent or a spouse, the only voice that we can really hear in the crowd, they say, just hang on, keep going. You'll make it. I think in particular of Audrey Wilkins, who was here on Thursday night. I watched Audrey hold the hand of Martha, her mother, until Martha was taken home to eternity. You know, sometimes we need the church and we need each other way more than we would ever admit. We need to hear the voice of Jesus through our family, through our friends, and through our family of faith. And those promises are the guarantee that we can hold on to his name. Not because it is our strength, but his. Have you heard of the exoskeleton? That's actually what makes some of the creatures strong, little insects we're amazed by. The way science does this is they recreate it for human beings. You take strong metal and mechanical parts and put them over the top of a human body, and they say that an exoskeleton can get you to run over 30 miles an hour, pick up over 1,200 pounds. that you can walk and run for hours because it is there to support you. When Jesus is my rock, he makes me the strength. He makes me the pillar in the temple, he says here. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I need to hear that, especially when I'm going through the difficult times. And so do you. Because I don't feel like a pillar. You don't realize that sometimes I step into the pulpit and all I have are the promises in front of me. And I proclaim them because they are true. There's no strength here. It's all here. And when that happens, it happens because of the name. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city, my new name. Do you remember Toy Story? It was one of those cartoon effects. There's always truths that dovetail with real life. And it's interesting how the main characters, Woody and Buzz, I actually said Buzz Aldrin on Thursday night and somebody had to correct me. Buzz Lightyear. Do you know what was written on their feet? Andy. Because Andy was their owner. They belonged to Andy. When it says my name is written on them, this is your credential. Our Savior allows us to go through certain things to see where our faith lies. When we see that we have a solid strand that is locked into the inner sanctuary, the place of peace where God has forgiven sins, where the blood has flowed, where there is eternal security, then we know we can hold on in any circumstance. Alicia's family found that out this week. I've rarely heard of a story like this before. Sam Kasmer, her cousin, is a veteran. 3 times he's been deployed in war. He came back and during the week at Seattle, he's an Army Ranger. I got to look here. Army Special Forces Ranger who's a paratrooper. And when he was in practice, his parachute didn't open. Sam fell over or around 100 feet. Amazingly, as she came in here this morning, she said he went home yesterday. He broke his leg. They had to operate on his pelvis, but that's really all able to be reconstructed. Talk about grace. Talk about a purpose for a life. God designed Sam so that everywhere he goes, people will say, he's the guy that fell. And I pray that Sam can use that to give glory to God. You see, intimacy isn't just knowing Scripture. It's knowing God who gives the Scripture. If you have never been sick, it would be impossible for you to know him as your healer. If you've never been alone, it's hard for you to realize that he is that friend that sticks closer than anything else, even a brother. If you have never been depressed, it's hard for you to realize that there can be peace of mind in Christ. And if you've never been broke, you'll never know that he is the ultimate provider. I turn to scriptures like this. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way. Those are words of a God who cares, who sees, who knows our deeds. He knows they aren't valuable enough to get us home to heaven, but he also knows our heart. And you know, things always appear to be the worst just before a breakthrough. When climbing a mountain, they get the hardest at the very peak. When giving birth, they're the hardest right in the moments before the baby comes. He wants the world to see that he is the cause of any success in our life. The world never did give us that success, and it can't take it away from us. Plain and simple, God says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's that crown of righteousness. If he opens a door for us and he says it's open, then it's open and no one can shut it. May God give you that strength to hear and know the voice of Jesus and to hang on to the promises that he guarantees. Amen.